Ja, men nå er jeg ikke nice, huh? Simple living. So, first of all, everyone, welcome to Vrindavan. And we begin at a Brahmanda Ghat, nice place, just the Yamuna, some mercy of Yamuna Maya, who is 100 times more powerful than the Ganga, because Krishna was constantly bathing in the Yamuna, and therefore it's said that we take shelter of Yamuna Maya. This place is significant because we remember that we are here in Gokul, Mahavan Gokul area. So in this area, Krishna was brought here when Vasudev crossed the river Yamuna, which was a very big river then because there was no dam in Delhi. And Vasudev crossed the river, brought Krishna then to Vrindavan, to Gokul. And so Brahmanda Ghat is close. I mean, this is kind of the area where Krishna would roam around and play. And it was in this place that Mother Yasoda saw Krishna after coming back from the forest, and when all the boys said that Krishna had eaten clay. And of course, you know, Krishna was saying, it's just politics. It's absolutely not true. We never had any clay at all. You know, they're just saying that because we had a fight today. And they're just trying to get me in trouble. Right? But actually, it's all false. Now, Mother Yasoda knew very well that Krishna was a very smart talker, and that he knew very well how to twist words. Krishna, in so many ways, would cheat. She had caught him many times, stealing butter, of course. And then it is said that the butter was hanging from the roof in a pot, and Krishna had been stealing some butter, and there were jeweled pillars. And then Krishna was reflected in the jeweled pillars, so it looked like there was another boy. So then Krishna said, I didn't take the butter, it was that boy who took the butter, and he gave it to me, and that's why I've got it on my hands. But I didn't take anything. So Krishna was an expert cheater, and of course Mother Yasoda was convinced that this time again he was cheating, there's no doubt about it. So therefore she said, well, everyone says you've eaten clay. And Krishna, of course, said, no, no. But if you don't believe me, if you don't trust your own son, you know, if you really don't trust your own son, then you can look in my mouth. And Mother Yasoda, without any sentiment, immediately said, yes, open your mouth. And then, of course, she saw the whole universe. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he, in 1972, took all the devotees on parikrama to Vrindavan, and he took the devotees here. And it was in the middle of the day, and it was a cold season, but in the middle of the day it was warm, and all the devotees, they just jumped into the river, everything. And Prabhupada was not really, he was watching from here. But some devotees said, oh, come, 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 and Prabhupada at one point, he got into it, and then he just also went into the Yamuna. And devotees were standing in the water, because it's not so deep, you can actually stand. They were standing and chanting Gayatri. So then everyone thought, oh, we must chant our Gayatri with Prabhupada in the water. So whoever was not in the water yet, ladies also, everyone just jumped in. And everyone was chanting Gayatri with Prabhupada in the Yamuna. And when Prabhupada was telling the story about Mother Yasoda looking into the mouth of Krishna. Then Prabhupada's, when Prabhupada said, and then she saw the whole universe, his eyes became big and round, right? Big and round. So in a way, it's a nice place to begin, because we are, in our parikram, we're following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, we are here only because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who we would not have gotten serious about Krishna. And even some who may have, by karma, had some history with Krishna. I didn't. No idea. But little by little, Krishna came in my life, even before Prabhupada, but I never thought that I would do anything with that. So we are here very much by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and that is not just once that we got entrance into the Holy Dham by the mercy of Prabhupada, but it's ongoing. Just by keeping that connection, like by chanting our 16 rounds, yes, then we can be transcendental. Then we can catch a glimpse of what is transcendental. Otherwise, we'll just be outsiders. Like, what will we see? Not much. They're coming back. Coming straight at us. Yes. So here in the so we will not go to Gokul. Instead, we go today to Ravel, because when Krishna came to Gokul and lived in Gokul in Mahavan. Then at that time, Srimati Radharani also lived not so far away, along with her parents in Rawal. So we can see from Krishna's pastimes that Krishna moved many times throughout Vrindavan in different places, because there were always these demons that would appear and that would attack, and different situations came about. So at one point, after this Agasura pastime, that's when they decided to leave Gokul and to give up everything here in Mahavan. And when they decided, when Nanda Maharaj and his elder brother Upananda decided to move to Vrindavan. So it's interesting, because this morning when we left, we got the bus, and the road, it was just beyond the Prabhupada gate, right? And the road is known as the Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark, right? But that was a name change that was made. The original name of the road was different. The original name of the road was Chatikara Road. I recently read the meaning of that Chatikara Road, and it was interesting, because it was describing when Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan were leaving Gokul. It was just an amazing event. They had these wonderful bullock carts with golden canopies and curtains hanging off the side. And it said these bullock carts, they rivaled the planes of the residents in Vaikuntha. They're very beautiful. And they went with all Nanda Maharaj's 900,000 cows to the Yamuna, with the idea of going to Vrindavan. So they went from Gokul to the Yamuna, and all the cows were led into the Yamuna and had to swim across. So all the cows were steadily swimming, but the calves, they were sort of playful and moving around fast in front of them. And the bulls, they were swimming and making waves with their humps, and then turn around and with their horns just splashing those waves. In this way, meanwhile, there were boats, and the carts were all loaded on the boats and taken across the Yamuna. And then all the way from the Yamuna, all the way to Govardhan, they made a temporary village with many, many carts. And all these carts, they put them in like a half moon, in a half circle form. So in this way, they made their temporary city. And that half moon was called Chatikar. And that was exactly where the Krishna Balaram temple is, there on Chatikar Road. Mm. So that's where all the, right behind is Kaliya Daha, there is the lake that was where Kaliya entered, a lake coming off the Yamuna. And that lake had been transformed. At that time, not yet. At that time, Kaliya was also not yet there, but it was a Yamuna lake. And there was that half-circle camp. Later, when Kaliya entered into that river, into that lake, it became very, very poisonous. Even when birds would fly across, they would just fall straight into the water. It was really very, very austere there. But after Krishna had purified Kaliya, and after Krishna took his bath in that lake, then the lake became purified. And later, Rupa Goswami writes that when you go from Mathura to Vrindavan, then you come past this Chatikara. And there at Chatikara, he said, there is the lake of Kaliya. He said, and don't forget to drink the water, it is very sweet. So that is all behind our temple. So we drove past all these places. So just as we left, we thought we were just sort of driving to a place. But no, we were in a place all along, every moment. Of course, behind our temple in Vrindavan is Raman Reti. Here in Gokul is also a Raman Reti, soft, enjoyable sand where Krishna and his cows are resting. That is also a nice place. So here in Brahmanda Ghat, we begin our... We may not all jump in the water today. I mean, some may. But look, those who will stay with us till the end of our parikrama, they will also come past this place again. But then we'll see it from the other side, because we'll come by boat, and we'll go by boat from Vrindavan to Mathura, which is a long way that day. Okay. I think we'll have a little more kirtan, and then we'll go. So you may wonder, like, Krishna lived so nicely in Gokul, and then he just moved. And in Gokul, they had a nice palace with lapis lazuli columns and all that, right? And then they just go on these bullock carts and they just move away. But what about the lapis lazuli columns and all those things, right? So there was no problem, because Vishwakarma was already arranging another residence in Vrindavan. So it was solved that when they finally settled there, then there were proper places for all the 900,000 cows, which is a serious number, and all the people. So everything was taken care of. And in this way, we find that Krishna lived in different places in Vrindavan. For example, we find, okay, he lived in Gokul, he lived in Vrindavan, he lived in Nandagram, he lived in Kamyavan, like that, various places. And it was all possible because Vishwakarma was there. And of course, one might think, well, but that is the nature of Krishna's pastimes, that Krishna's pastimes can only be approached to understanding that everything is transcendental, and that it's not just going on by normal logic. Krishna shows the whole universe in his mouth, and yet Krishna is walking on earth, that means inside the universe. So he's in the universe and the universe is within him. Now you figure that out. That's achincha beda beda tattva. That is simultaneously one and many. It's all Krishna. It's simultaneously one and many. So this is the achincha beda beda tattva place. The place where we can see that somehow or other, one might think, well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there's all his energy. Yeah? So you would think Krishna plus energy equals God. Yeah? If you think about it logically. No, Krishna is complete. He's complete. And yet, he has all that energy, which looks like it's separate from him. And that's also part of him. So it looks like 1 + 1 = 2. And that's the whole thing. No. It's just Krishna was already complete as the personality of Godhead. Then all these energies are there. And they sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. That's all. But they're always there, potentially. So we can understand. Sometimes the universe is manifest. Sometimes the universe is not manifest. But Krishna was already there, even before the universe was there. Krishna was there. So in this way, besides the stories, this place also relates directly to the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with Janmadi asi aton viyat itaratas chate svabhikya surat. Saying that Krishna is the origin of everything, he is fully cognizant of everything, and yet he's independent of everything. He's still existing independent. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, he is always complete. So, in this way, this very pastime proves that Krishna cannot be comprehended by mundane intelligence, by mundane logic, and that it doesn't necessarily all make sense. Like when we are going on these parikramas, we drive, and it's sometimes a long drive over bumpy roads, and then you hear that Krishna was walking there with the cowherd boys and said, "My God, that was a long walk, man." And then in one day and back, you know, how is it possible? How could they do all these distances? But it was possible because the distances are not behaving the same way like with us. See, for Krishna, although he goes the whole way, the distance becomes short and it doesn't take very long. So he can easily walk, whereas we have to go for long drives. Because it is transcendental. For us, it's all about time, everyone, please be in time, and then it's breakfast time. I don't know if you already had breakfast, I did. So, but if you didn't, then you can do that also. Anyway, the point is that somehow time adjusts for Krishna. Distances adjust for Krishna. Dimensions adjust. When there's unlimited cowherd boys who each have unlimited calves, that's not a problem. That would be a problem for us. Unlimited cowherd boys is too many. Then unlimited, each one of those unlimited cowherds has unlimited calves. Can you imagine big traffic? Very intense. But somehow or other, all these things, they go on by as arrangements for Krishna's pleasure pastimes. Therefore, wherever Krishna resided, somehow or other, everything was always perfectly arranged. And when they were camping, then they were simply camping to enjoy the camping. Not that they had left everything as refugees. Krishna was a refugee. He left Gokul and then in Vrindavan, and there was a refugee camp. It was terrible. It was like, you know, total refugee camp, my God, you know, like you've seen pictures on the news of a refugee camp. And that's how it was with those bullock carts, a refugee camp. No, it wasn't. It was just amazingly opulent and amazingly wonderful, because the demigods were making all the necessary arrangements for Christians. So now, since I said breakfast, I don't know, some of you who haven't taken, you please take. Go. Yeah, I saw you peeling a banana. That's all right, go for it. So I think we'll have little background kirtan while you have some prasad. And then once you're done, then we'll go. So everyone who still or wants to take some prasad, take it. And if you didn't bring any, then you have to beg. It's the only option. That's the Vrindavan tradition. So we'll go back to the bus, and we go now on to Rabo, which is not so far. So. Yeah.